Okay, our next presentation, response of new cotton varieties to verticillium wilt, bacterial blight, and root knot nematodes. Terry Wheeler, Jason Woodward. And again, we have the pointer here that is not connected to the computer. We'll have to advance that with the mouse trackpad.
Just do the arrows?
Yeah, arrows or the trackpad.
Okay, very good. Well, good morning, everybody. I appreciate you hanging around here. We'll get rolling. So I'm going to start with root knot nematodes. About 40% of our cotton acreage in the southern high plains has Meloidia gynae incognita. And this is just some pictures from some of our field plots. You've got your picture in the red there where you can see the galls pretty well. A lot of damage on the taproot. You can see the picture next to it is what unfortunately happens too, where you've got some seedling disease, Fusarium or Rhizoctonia or something, and it makes the damage a whole lot worse. It makes it really hard for the cotton plant to outgrow that root knot damage then. So you can get varying levels of damage just due to the presence of some of these other organisms as well. Here's a picture of verticillium wilt. I can't give you an acreage of what we have verticillium wilt on. We have probably at least as much land infested with verticillium as we do Meloidia gynae, but we haven't done the formal surveys to recognize that. We typically see the disease coming in late August, toward the end of the growing season. We'll get a quick buildup around the end of August, typically, and then we'll see some defoliation, depending on the year, in September, and that then decides how much damage we had. In 2016, we had a extremely hot July, and then we got into about the 12th of August, and the temperature dropped dramatically and stayed cool for the next 4 weeks. And so we went from what I considered to be a terrible verticillium year where we weren't going to have any. And then by the end of August, those last few days of August, the incidents started really coming up. And then by the first or second week in September, my gosh, everybody was getting defoliated from verticillium wilt. So ended up being a very severe year, a good year for testing. And then the third disease I'm going to talk about is bacterial blight. We did see some pretty good natural blight developing in July. It was quite hot and dry, really, but we, with our irrigation and whatnot, we did see some pretty good blight developing. And then when we got cold, it actually shut the disease down. It was so cold, it completely shut it down at that point. My blight tests are actually inoculated, and so fortunately, the inoculations went out early enough so that I did not have to deal with the cold spell that came through. So those data sets are also pretty good this year. So it was a good year for disease overall. So the different trials, the root knot, were 4-row plots with 6 replications, randomized complete block design, and natural infestations. I'm going to present data from a couple different trials. But we typically take stand counts. We do gall ratings early in the year. We soil sample typically at some point in the latter part of August and run those for root knot eggs and second stage juveniles, and then we take the yield. Verticillium wilt plots, there are 2-row plots and 4 replications. We typically do not need as much replication on them. Randomized complete block design and natural field infestations. These are all done in farmers' fields. We take stands, incidence of wilt, defoliation in September, and then yield. And then our bacterial blight plots are at least this year, were 1-row plots, 4 to 8 replications depending on the trial. Randomized complete block design, and I artificially inoculate with really a couple of isolates that I mix together that are consistent with like a race 18 response, and I collect the percent of plants in the plots with blight symptoms. These are from 4 root knot sites. The first site in Seminole, well, let me talk about the varieties first. So the varieties that went into the Seminole and La Mesa site are listed below. All the varieties were in both of those sites. They're kind of listed from what I consider the most resistant to the least resistant. Phytogen 417 is excellent 2-gene resistant system. The Delta Pine 1558, 1454, and 1747 are all a 2-gene system from my observations, or at least their response is consistent with that. And then we have what we consider the partial genes, the Phytogen 487, the Stoneville 4946. And then we probably have varieties that may have some sort of a mixture of a little bit of root knot resistance in them. They are not marketed as root knot resistant lines, and that would be Fibromax 2011 GT, Fibromax 1911 GT, Phytogen 308, and then I have two susceptible checks, Phytogen 499 and Next Gen 3406. So in Seminole, we really had tremendous yields here, really twice what we normally get in that site. Most varieties were in the A grouping, and so I've kind of just drawn a dash across all these A ones. There were only a couple varieties that did poorly there, the Phytogen 417 was good, excuse me. The Fibromax 2011 GT, the Phytogen 308 did poorly, and then the Next Gen 3406. But everything else yielded very, very nicely at Seminole. La Mesa ended up being a kind of a short season site for us. It was planted similar to the Seminole planting date, but there was a lot of weather issues early on. Those plants were terribly delayed through hail events and heavy rainstorms. And so it really ended up being what I consider more of a short season site. And the two best varieties there were the Fibromax 2011 GT and the Fibromax 1911. And that site also got some verticillium wilt, and it also got bacterial blight in it. And so those two varieties are resistant to both of those diseases, and that may have also contributed to their better yields. Now, at Brownfield, I only had a subset of varieties there, but the ones that performed strongly were the Delta Pine 1558, and then the Stoneville 4946 and the Fibromax 1911 GLT. Phytogen 417 did not do as well there, and the susceptible check, Phytogen 499, did very poorly there. Plains was actually a joint root knot verticillium site, and the two best varieties there were Delta Pine 1558 and Stoneville 4946. So it did appear at that site the root knot dominated over the verticillium. So I guess to summarize, the two most consistent performers were Delta Pine 1558 NR B2RF and Stoneville 4946 GLB2. But as you can see in the La Mesa site, other circumstances, even though there was good root knot pressure there, other circumstances can affect what variety does perform better. These are the nematode counts at the Seminole and La Mesa sites, and basically the Phytogen 417 did very, very well. Phytogen 487 looked good. Delta Pine 1747, 1454, and 1558 were all nice and resistant. And then we started to see more variability in the other varieties, the Fibromax 2011, Stoneville 4946, excuse me, Phytogen 308, Fibromax 1911, all had quite a bit of reproduction on them, particularly in Seminole, and then the susceptible checks as well had plenty of reproduction. So resistance looks good at Delta Pine 1747, which will be new this year coming out, that has the V2XF gene. I was very pleased with its resistance, and at least in Seminole, it looked good from a yield standpoint. Moving on to verticillium wilt. At all of our sites, we looked at defoliation and yield, and this is an example of just one site. It's ordered in terms of the best to the worst yield. Fibromax 2484 would have been the best yield at that site, and I just wanted to give you a feel for the defoliation is actually a pretty decent predictor of yield, and you can see the one end definitely had less defoliation than kind of the other end of the varieties where the yield's going to be lower. And here is the yield at that particular site to just give you an idea of that relationship. So we had four sites this year, and I decided to sort of summarize the date. Well, here's the three of the sites. One had a little bit lower disease, and this is just relating defoliation at each site to lint yield for all the varieties in a site. There's typically 32 to 40 varieties in a site. And you can see Floydata had the highest yield potential out of this group and was losing about 8 pounds of lint for every 1% defoliation. Plainview had the most severe disease, losing 11.3 pounds of lint for every 1% defoliation, and Ropes was in between with 9.7 pounds of lint lost for every 1% defoliation. So, what is the best verticillium wilt variety? If you summarize across all these sites, and I decided to expand it a bit and look at really the last 3 years, so this past year was certainly the best wilt year out of the last three. So I scale all the individual plot data for each site by subtracting the minimum amount of disease from that test, and then I divide it by the range of disease or the range of the yield. You can do it for any parameter. And then I use a mixed model analysis to look at the scaled wilt or scaled defoliation or scaled yield, and I put my random factor there for SAS as well. And then I compare everything back to the resistant and susceptible checks. So I'm using FiberMax 2484 as a resistant check, Phytogen 333 as a susceptible check. If it's something's as good as 2484, it's an A. Give it an A. If it's worse than 2484 but better than the susceptible check, it's a B. And when I say worse or better, this is statistical at 0.05. These are statistical, or actually 0.1. If it's equal to the susceptible check, it's a C. And if it's worse than the susceptible check, it's a D. So now I'm going to give you a list of the best material, those that were A's for yield, A's for wilt, A's for defoliation. So if you want my recommendation on the top verticillium wilt resistant varieties of new material, of things that are pretty recent still, that's my list. And I put the susceptible check in there just as a comparison. So your number one yielding variety overall in the last 3 years, or actually the last 2 years for that one, was Next Gen 3500 XF. It yielded 0.74, and that would have been of the very best plot in all the trials that it was in over the last couple years. It would have yielded a 74%, essentially, of the on average of the very best plot in the field. And then Stoneville 4747 was 68% of that. Next Gen 3640 XF, which is just coming out this new year, 67%, FiberMax 2484. Then you've got FiberMax 2322, Phytogen 243, Y-Strike Flex, another new Next Gen 3699, Next Gen 4545. That's the A group. Those are your strongest wilt, reducing defoliation, and having really high yields relative to everything else. Okay, moving on to bacterial blight. So we looked at some new varieties here at two tests that I put out. One test, and actually the first test I put out, the second test was planted by Dr. Jane Deaver as part of her program, and then I go ahead and treat it and rate it. So some of the ones in the first test are Cropland Genetics 3226, B2XF, Cropland Genetics 3885, Next Gen 3522, Phytogen 308, Next Gen 4601, which is a new Next Gen, I can read it here better. And then you've got Delta Pine 1044 in green as a susceptible check. Delta Pine 1614, Cropland Genetics 3475. Next Gen 1511 is actually a susceptible check, and Next Gen 3517. All of those were susceptible, or to some degree susceptible. And then you've got Delta Pine 1612, B2XF as sort of intermediate. And then your resistant ones, you've got FiberMax 2484 as a resistant check, Next Gen 4545 as resistant, Next Gen 4689 as resistant, Next Gen 3640, and those three are all new varieties in the last 2 years, and then Delta Pine 1518 and Next Gen 3699. So that was the first test with new varieties that are either resistant or susceptible. And then in the second test, we've got Phytogen 499 in there as a check as well. Next Gen 3517 again, Phytogen 444 is susceptible. Delta Pine 1044 was another susceptible check. Phytogen 312 is a susceptible check, though not quite as susceptible as 499. Then I have a partial susceptible check, FiberMax 1320. And then you get into the more resistant material, Delta Pine 1646, B2XF, Phytogen 243, Wide Strike Flex, Phytogen 223, Wide Strike Flex, FiberMax 1911 GLT, Next Gen 4545, Delta Pine 1518, FiberMax 2484, the new Delta Pine 1639, and Next Gen 3500XF. So of the new varieties that we looked at this past year, you can see we've got some new resistant ones and some new susceptible ones. So, and that's going to be it pretty much. Just to recap, I think We're still at a position if we want to recommend a root knot resistant variety, the Stonewheel 4946, or if you're in a little longer season environment, the Delta Pine 1558 and RB2RF. Things like growing season length, disease factors like blight and wilt may also favor the Fibermax 2011 and Fibermax 1911 in a shorter season site. And then for wilt, you can see the list of the varieties that I consider the top of the top. And then some of the new resistant, blight-resistant varieties there, Delta Pine 1518, Delta Pine 1639, and Delta Pine 1646, Fibermax 1830, 2334, 1900, 2007. And then the next gen, 3500, 3640, 3699, 4545, and 4689, and then the Phytogen 223 and 243. So, thank you. That should be it. And these acknowledgments for all the folks, the farmers, Cotton State Support, the Plains Cotton Growers, that all contribute to these as well as the seed companies. Thank you.
Great. And